It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
Let's have a bear meeting here.
Brian Baldinger.
Oh, this is awesome.
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't Rex Grossman.
Host of Baldy's Breakdown.
All right, let's break down some of this Bears offense. All right, because some of it is really ugly and everybody's to blame. Some is the quarterback. Some is the receivers. Some is the design. There's plenty of them.
Brian Baldinger with Mully and Haw.
Like, this is...
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We are joined now by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, and he is the host of the best football show podcast, and insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And Brian joins us, as all guests do, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be with you. Good morning.
Well, it's always fun to talk to you. And, you know, I don't even know how to ask if the offense can be fixed, because we don't even know the guy, the architect of the offense, right? The guy that put this playbook together is gone now, Shane Waldron. But you got to keep the playbook. It's what Caleb has been learning. And you got now a guy in Thomas Brown who comes in, and his charge is to get this thing fixed, even though it's not his. It's a tough job.
It's a tough job, but sometimes you have to make these decisions. I mean, Buffalo last year at this time of the year, they fired their offense coordinator and elevated Joe Brady, and they've never looked back, and they've kind of fixed all the woes that they had, from turnovers to imbalance to, you know, not being able to run the ball effectively. And so it worked for Buffalo. We'll see what it does. Thomas is, you know, he's got a resume here. There are things that are broken within the offense. I mean, they need to help the quarterback out. The quarterback's got to play better. You got to work around an offensive line that isn't great, but they're not completely awful. So you got to build the quarterback's confidence up, because they all can lose it. You mentioned that Tom Brady will be there this week, and I saw Tom last weekend on the sideline in Tampa. But every quarterback's confidence can be shattered. You've got to rebuild it. And so that happens with completions, first downs, staying on the field and converting third downs. And they were terrible at it last week.
Why do you think the Bears decided to fire Shane Waldron in season, something they haven't done? And you referenced an example where it has worked, but more often than not, Baldy, doesn't it kind of scream as a desperate move? I know these are desperate times, but you look at the Bears, and yes, people understand it wasn't getting done, but I think that we were still a little surprised the Bears actually went through with it, because they've never done this before.
Well, just because they haven't done it before doesn't mean it wasn't the right thing to do prior. I mean, I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, Shane has got a resume. He's got some things that he's done well in his business. But the offense, to me, except for a couple of games this season, didn't make sense. Like, they're primarily an offense where they asked the receivers to win one-on-ones. They weren't really good at it last week. And so then if you go, okay, well, let's just say the Patriots playing the heavy man coverage like they were, let's go to bunch formations. Well, they get into a bunch formation, and they don't do anything to rub a receiver open to get him free. And so, well, what's the purpose of that? Like, you, if you're just asking Keenan Allen to go beat press coverage or for DJ Moore to go beat Christian Gonzalez, well, they weren't doing that with any, you know, quickly, whether the quarterback's on his third step, he's hitching, he's ready to throw, and nobody's open, and he's just holding the ball. And now, that wasn't always the case, but there was plenty of that, and there's been plenty of that during the season where it's third and three, and they're throwing 30-yard spray fades down the field to a receiver, which is a low-percentage throw. Like, I thought there was a disconnect between what they could do and what they were doing, and none of it was helping the quarterback.
We had a long conversation. Obviously, we've talked about this for a while. I think part of the problem is, you know, people now have a book. They now have an understanding of what the Bears were trying to do. They know how to defend Caleb better than they did when the season began. And there was, obviously, the league is about moves and counter moves. And we talked about how tentative they had made him, whether it was the problems on the offensive line or whether it was their preaching about not throwing interceptions. You know, the one thing he's done is he hasn't thrown interceptions. But if you're not making any plays, it's easier than, you know, if you're taking nine sacks, isn't it, right. You know, as opposed to throwing a pick. I just wonder if they've taught him the right stuff.
Well, I totally agree with you. I mean, there's no point in just holding on to the ball. I mean, the first play of the game is max protection. It's the biggest pocket you could actually create on a football field, and he takes a sack on the play. I mean, it's on the quarterback, but still, like, he's hesitant, and for whatever reason. And so not only is he hesitant, but when he has thrown it, starting really with the Washington game and then Arizona, I mean, he hasn't not been accurate. And so his mechanics aren't good. And he's holding the ball and he's hesitant. Those are all bad for any quarterback. I do think better design could help him. He does look ready to throw on time, and the receivers aren't open and don't look like they're expecting the football a great deal of the time. So I think it's a little bit of a mix. I actually thought the offensive line, with Matt Pryor going to right tackle last week because of the injury and whatnot, I actually think they played okay up front. It wasn't like there was just a broken sieve and he was under duress very quickly outside of maybe one or two throws. But, you know, you got to say out of, you know, third and longs, they were third and 10 plus on four of the 14 third downs. Those are always hard to complete. But still, good offenses find a way to do that.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavors to your game day dishes this football season. All right, Baldy, how do you explain just how Nate Davis fell off the map here and really never really lived up to expectations, and he was finally cut yesterday?
Wow. Nate Davis came out of the University of Charlotte, drafted by Tennessee, did look like an NFL player his first year or two. He looked awfully small. He wasn't very good. And then he you know, they became a run-first team. They had Derrick Henry. He moved big bodies up front and really solidified himself as a good starting guard. The Bears took him in free agency. He had some injuries up there. And all of a sudden, he went backwards, you know, and couldn't stay on the field. And, I mean, Matt Pryor has been a journeyman, and I'm friends with Matt. I don't want to, you know, disrespect him, but he's not been a great player in this league. He's been a backup player. But when he beat him out, like, that said all you needed to know about what they thought of Nate Davis. So, I mean, I think the injuries and maybe the design, you know, you're on your second offensive coordinator, now third offensive coordinator in 2 years, a lot of it has changed. And I don't think it's been particularly good for Nate right now. I'm sure he'll get picked up here pretty soon.
I don't know what to make of their offensive failings on the line. And I understand if you have injuries where that comes from, Baldy, but you know, it just feels like you knew you were taking a quarterback with the first pick in the draft. You did everything you could to gather as many offensive weapons. You did a good job of bringing in receivers, but you needed to get to that line, and you needed to get to it like in a time machine. You don't need to get to it on this particular year, but it feels like every move they've made has been thwarted somehow on the line, and they've been patchworking it since the season began, and it's created a problem for any kind of quarterback development.
It has. I mean, the Steelers have started two rookies in their offensive line. They went and drafted a center, Zach Frazier, out of West Virginia. Second-round pick, he's a stud. They've had injuries on their line. Their sixth-round pick out of South Dakota State, Mason McCormick, looked like he was, he was playing for Chuck Knoll back in 1975, you know. And, he looked great last week. On the goal line, short yardage, I mean, he's pulling around, looked like an animal. Why is it that some teams go out there and put two rookies in the middle of the offensive line and they're in first place in the AFC North because the line got fixed? You got to do your homework. You got to find these guys. You got to develop them. And, the good teams continuously do that. The Rams, prior to last night, they were starting two rookies on their offense line when they had won three in a row. For some reason, they took them out of the line, and they played like crap last week with the starters in there. But Bo Limmer and Delsitz, those kids played great. Two rookies in there, late-round pick, sixth-round pick, free agent. But, they put these kids in there, they coach them up, and pretty quickly they look like they belong. And so I could go across the league and show you guys that, the Kansas City Chiefs lose the Super Bowl and they look awful up front, and they drafted Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey, and they've gone and won two Super Bowls in a row. Like, they fixed their line. So it has to be a priority, and it just has not been the type of priority, I think, that the Bears needed in order to be competitive.
This segment with Brian Baldinger is brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit TimberTech.com. So the last 3 weeks, Caleb Williams certainly has struggled, and yet, given the uncertainty about everybody this season and Matt Eberflus's job and maybe even Ryan Poles, I think Caleb Williams probably is the surest thing about the future you can predict. He's going to be the guy who is going to be here. What have the last 3 weeks done to your expectations for what kind of quarterback he can be?
Well, he was outplayed by Jaden Daniels, but that was one game. Outplayed severely by Kyler Murray. I mean, other top-flight picks, And then in the last week was just a complete clown. Outplayed by Drake May last week. So, he's not doing himself any favors by the way that he's playing, but none of these quarterbacks can do it by themselves. So, he's going to be here. Whether they make a change at the head coach or the general manager, he's going to be here. They have to try to make it work. They got to find the right coach, the right coordinator, whoever that is. And maybe it's the staff that's here. If they turn things around and they, find a way to beat the Packers this Sunday and play well within their division. But that position has got to get fixed in Chicago. And whether it's Caleb or not, they have to get that thing fixed. Otherwise, you're just going to see continual turnover like they have. I mean, they had nothing but turnover in Detroit. You can say it's all Dan Campbell, but unless Jared Goff played like he has played for 3 years, I mean, Dan Campbell isn't giving those victory speeches, in the locker room that we all watch every week and saying that he's, they're taking his toughness and his coaching. Well, the quarterback played, and he was supposed to be a stopgap quarterback to the next quarterback, but he's fixed that position, and everything else in Detroit looks a whole lot better because of it.
So, Baldy, it's also Packer week for the Bears. Now, this, it seems like there's a lot going on. You don't want to lose sight of it, but this is like the oldest rivalry in the league. The Bears have never beaten, or I should just say, the Flower has beaten the Bears 10 straight times, Matt LeFleur. And now he comes in to a damaged team. If ever there was a moment in a season where the Bears, if they ever could get their act together, boy, would it be appreciated. It's this one. But it feels like the circus is in town. Like, every time you try to turn around, since that Fal Mary, it's been one horror story after another. How do you get them focused and ready to play a football game against a division rival in the midst of all this?
Well, I mean, and that division rival is coming off a bye week.
Yeah.
And so, whatever has been ailing them, which has been a few things, they're coming with a new defense in town that leads the league in takeaways. Their safeties, they just sit there in the middle of the field waiting to rob you if you dare to throw it there. So, look, it's tough, but, New Orleans made a change. They had lost seven in a row. Darren Rizzi came in last week, and somehow with a bunch of castaways, guys that literally they picked up off the bus stop on a Tuesday, helped them win games on Sunday last week against the division rival Atlanta Falcons. And so sometimes change is good. Sometimes it's what it's needed. They're going to get a good chance to, you know, and to turn their season around with the Packers coming to town. Like, look, if they get beat by the Packers and it's ugly, I mean, you could basically say the season is over and the circus isn't in town and staying in town. They find a way to beat the Packers and get Caleb right and get this offense on track. You could turn this thing around because everything, every bad habit can be changed in an instant. And so it can change. And maybe Thomas Brown is the newest hero in Chicago if he gets this offense fixed. It's a big challenge, no question about it. And so, but that's the challenge. And as ugly as it was at Soldier Field last week, maybe it can be just as victorious this week.
Great stuff, Baldy. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep, my pleasure, guys. You bet.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. He's the host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. You gave out a heavy sigh there.
Did I? Was it heavy? I want to agree with everything that he said because he's right. He is right. The Bears can change the direction of their season and regain some of this lost momentum by beating the Packers. But it's easier said than done because of all the things that we talk about with Thomas Brown taking over and the injection of enthusiasm and energy. And you know what? The Bears can and will, I think, control their attitude and their effort in a better way on Sunday. I just am not convinced they're going to control the line of scrimmage. And I think ultimately that will be what dictates the way this game goes.
I think they're in a better position to control the line of scrimmage in this game than they were going into last week. Just because the tackles are back, I personally believe Montez Sweat will be up and running and will be able to play in the game. Listen, you know, Andrew Billings, that's a huge loss. Their Bears are not the entity that they were earlier in the year, and even then they were struggling in run defense. That is the truth.
That concerns me.
And I think the running back, that's the problem.
Josh Jacobs is a big problem.
That's a huge problem in this game.
See, when I say control the line of scrimmage,
yes,
I mean, yes, the Bears' offensive line will be better, but I think they're going to be susceptible to blitzes and sacks and that kind of pressure. And then trying to stop Josh Jacobs, who is going to be the best running back on the field, and they're going to be able to establish the run. Matt LaFleur, stinky good play caller, but also a guy that is devoted to the running game when he needs to be.
Yeah.
And I think he will be on Sunday, and that's the Bears are going to have a hard time slowing that down and getting a lead. You need a lead, and they have led 25 seconds since they returned from London three games.
You know, it seems fairly obvious to state the idea that, as you say, they don't open games well. They got to, you know, in order to convert third downs, that's their problem. They can't convert third downs in the first quarter of football games, mainly because they can't get any yardage on first and second down. They are facing all these third and longs, third and 10 plus. The other thing is, David, you know, if you're controlling your attitude and you're controlling your level of intensity, don't bloody well get a pre-snap penalty. If they had 35 this year, that is, you know why you can't, you know how you wind up in bad down and distance? By jumping offside.
It's all related,
by
though.
By lining up wrong.
It's all related, though.
But that's the discipline you need to see
that's
change.
Effort. That's attitude. That is making a conscious effort to be disciplined.
Yes.
And I think that's what the Bears have lacked. Concentration, focus, coaching, these kinds of things, these little mistakes, they shouldn't be happening halfway through a season. That's why the Bears are where they are offensively as much as anything. They're self-destructive. They have too much of that tendency. So, yes, Caleb Williams is protecting the football, but at what cost? Because they need to balance. You can be structured and disciplined and avoid the pre-snap penalties and still have a quarterback that isn't afraid to take his shots. Right now, you've got a quarterback that's afraid to take his shots.
Okay. All right, we got Mike Sando is going to join us next. Mike does a great job covering the NFL. He's out of the Seattle area, and we'll get a chance to wake him up and get him on, and we'll talk to him. He wrote a thing earlier in the week about Kevin Warren and the kind of the kind of coach Kevin is looking for as opposed to the kind of coach maybe the Bears need.
The kind of coach that he'll permit them to hire.
See, now, this is fascinating stuff. So we'll ask Mike about it, what he meant. Oh, I know what he meant. But we'll talk about it next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
What I'm looking for in the offense is creativity. Working the guys into open positions on the field. And that takes creativity. But it takes everybody, working with everybody to be able to get that done. If it's Chris, if it's the running back coach, whoever it might be, using everybody to really do a good job to create that openness, in space to get our athletes in that area. So to me, it's always about that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That, of course, the voice of Matt Eberflus. Not a fan of creativity. Not for the guy that's replacing the guy that got fired for his, I'm using air quotes, creativity.
Yeah, a little too creative.
We are delighted to welcome in Mike Sando. He does a great job covering the NFL with The Athletic. Always a must read. And he joins us, as all guests do, on the Score Hotline. Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm living the dream, buddy. And I got to tell you, you're a perfect guy to talk to because they fire Shane Waldron. Obviously, you know him. You've seen him. Any surprise to you that this did not work out?
I was surprised that it went as badly as it did. I mean, certainly, if I would have known that, I would have written a story about it before the season, that this is doomed, and by week 9 they'd replace him. Never thought that. So I always thought Shane Waldron was solid but not spectacular, right? Yeah. I think there's a handful of guys who are differentiators, and it's really a shorter list, although it may have grown this year depending on some of these. I think Liam Combs done a good job. Some of those guys, maybe we need to see over a whole year. But coming into the year, you probably would put down definitely fewer than 10, maybe somewhere between 5 and 10 guys that you think really differentiate, right? That just are going to make your quarterback look better, and they're going to scheme it. And you wouldn't have put him in that category with the Kyle Shanahans and Sean McVays and, those, even Matt LaFleur now. So, but I didn't think he was bad, right? I didn't think he was bad. I'm surprised it went as poorly as it did. And I've been thinking about it. What is it? And I thought Keenan Allen's remarks.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Were really telling, because to me, that's not just Waldron. That's the program.
Yes.
That's everybody.
That's what we've been talking about with Matt Eberflus, too, who I think we all think we'd love to go have lunch with Matt Eberflus. He's a good defensive coordinator. Their defense is good. But there's always just something a little missing with that accountability part, right? It just doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come in a commanding way. So when you have a player hamming it up with the fans during the Hail Mary, or the player trots off the field, these aren't necessarily all felonies. They're just indicative to me of that lack of just absolute accountability that you need. And then when things start going wrong, you know, no one really can stop the bleeding, it feels like, right? No one really just takes control of it. So that's what it feels like and looks like to me, beyond just whether Shane Waldron's a differentiating coordinator, right? I think he can coach a good offense.
And if
but there must be some reasons why it didn't happen.
It's a great point, Mike, and great job this week as usual. And if they do go in a different direction after Matt Eberflus this year, they may be seeking a strong personality to do what we just described. That's not being done right now. But as you write in The Athletic, quote, execs around the league think a Bears structure featuring an empowered, engaged team president, Kevin Warren, all but rules out the possibility Chicago would seek established power coaches, even though such candidates would likely handle a market as tough as Chicago more comfortably than Eberflus has or the next hot coordinator might.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So
how strong do you feel about that?
Pretty strongly, and I think every one of these organizations is unique in a different job. But what I kind of think of Kevin Warren is a little bit like Rich McKay, right? They're seasoned executives, and they aren't going to probably be meddling in the play calling or what we're doing on third down this week. But they're a presence in the organization in a leadership role, and so. Like last offseason, people thought, hey, Bill Belichick's going to go to Atlanta. And then when it didn't happen, it kind of was like, well, Rich McKay is there, that type of a thing. Doesn't mean you can't get a good coach. They got Raheem Morris. He may be a great coach. But I think it does probably affect the type of coach that you get and how much they're empowered. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's interesting. I worry then that they got the wrong guy. It makes me worry. He's not a football guy. You know, Rich McKay grew up in the game with his father, and I don't know that he's necessarily a football guy. I think he's a really
does
bright
Kevin
guy.
Does Kevin Warren know what he's looking for?
That's what I'm asking.
But they're not picking. But Rich McKay's not in the draft, I don't think, in the draft going, hey, we got to have this corner. I wouldn't think he would be doing that now, do you?
No, I don't think he does that. But I'm saying.
Yeah.
He has been around the game. He's been around strong leaders. It's a little bit different than a guy who's been an executive, even a sports executive, his whole life.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So most people don't hire somebody who reduces their own footprint or power or ambitions, right?
Agree.
Just in general. Like if you're running would you hire that for somebody? Would you hire somebody to overshadow you in your job?
I might.
Would I?
Because
I might. I mean, we might. Yeah, but most
I would hope
don't.
I would. But
most people wouldn't. So that's the perception.
If it makes you better, you would. I mean, if it improves your chance to do a better job yourself, I think you would want to try to do that.
Yeah. So then the question becomes, okay, who would that type of coach be and would they do it? Or do you need that type of coach? Do they just go try to hire Cliff Kingsbury because he worked with Caleb Williams and he's done a great job this year, second chance head coach, fits nicely in the power structure, and away we go.
Well, the way this is trending also, Mike, you have to wonder, regardless of Kevin Warren's input or his involvement, you have to wonder the damage that's being done, the dysfunction that exists. This is a tough place to work in a market you can describe as however you want to, but would people stay away from the job, as has been reported about Ben Johnson? Would people stay away from the job because it is the Chicago Bears and you'd be working for the McCaskies?
I would say generally no, but I do think there's an interesting dynamic in football now, and I think with Ben Johnson in particular, where if Ben Johnson can make enough money as the OC, you don't have to take every head coaching job. And I think in the past, you basically had to take every job because it was so much more money. But if Ben Johnson is making, if they can pay him $5 million or $6 million a year to be the OC, then he doesn't absolutely have to take a coaching job for 8 or 10, right, or whatever it would be. He wouldn't have to do it. So I do think that's a interesting dynamic, but I don't think they have any problem hiring a head coach. I was on a radio show in Dallas yesterday. Do you think Jerry Jones's presence keeps him from getting a coach? Do you think Dak Prescott's contract keeps him from getting? No, it doesn't. No. A lot of people would like to work with Dak Prescott. A lot of people like to coach the Cowboys. A lot of people would like to coach the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and I think, though, that, you know, what's interesting is we're just talking, you know, kind of throwing out names. They're all offensive-minded guys that we're talking about here. And I think the reason is fairly obvious that Eberflus, while a defensive guy, whoever comes in next has got to be able to deal with the quarterback above and beyond all else. And if you cannot make the most out of what you have with Caleb Williams, then you're not going to be here very long. And if you hire a defensive-minded coach and he brings in a guy that really does wonders with Caleb Williams, then he's going somewhere else. When you're a quarterback whisperer, you are more likely to get a long-term job than you are if you're just a defensive guy. And in the old days, that you might have thought that if you hire a defensive guy, you get the added benefit of maybe stronger special teams because he's going to really know what it looks like. I just feel like the Bears are putting them in a situation where it's offensive coach or bust next time out.
I kind of think so. If you look at the great quarterback franchise relationships that really won championships, you are talking about a lot of defensive coaches, whether it's Tomlin with Roethlisberger or Pete Carroll with Russ Wilson or Tom Brady with Bill Belichick. I've done a study on it, and the ones that really get there and win the championships that are there a long time, oftentimes it is that top quarterback with somebody who can have a good defense, because to win championships you have to be good on defense, and for the most part. And so but at this point I think you're right in that they have to stabilize that for this quarterback now, just given all they've been through over going back years and years with not having the quarterback timed up with the coach and all of those things. It's time probably to do that.
So Mike, down in Carolina, they benched Bryce Young and brought him back, and he's been better. I mean, I don't know if this is gets him back on track, but he's been better. In Indy, they bench Anthony Richardson, they bring him back, and we'll see how that worked, if it did at all. Are things changing in the way that teams are handling young quarterbacks, developing quarterbacks, in that they're not afraid to bench them because they bring them back? And how does that relate, if it does at all, to the way the Bears should approach Caleb Williams?
Well, I think there's been ebbs and flows in that. I mean, shoot, Bill Walsh used to bench Joe Montana. So, guys used to bench quarterbacks all the time. So I don't think that's necessarily new in the game of football, but does it have to be fatal? I think that's something we've felt in recent years where, you bench the guy and now he's undercut and can't ever do it again. And I think what we've learned is, if you're going to draft six of them in the first round, they can't all start forever, right? If you're going to draft that many and push up these guys who clearly aren't ready. Anthony Richardson, not ready. Everyone knew that when they drafted him.
Yep.
So I think if you're going to push these guys up that much, then you have to be willing to, if they're totally raw and not ready, to sit them down. If you can't look your team in the eye and say, this is our guy who gives us the best chance to win. Now in Indy, it went so bad with Flacco that, it's a lot easier to go back. In Carolina, same sort of thing, where you get a bump with Andy Dalton, but then after a while you've got Andy Dalton, right? Or in Indy, you've got Joe Flacco. They're not the answer. So I think it's easier to go back. But in Chicago's case, I haven't really sensed that, like, it's Kyler or Caleb Williams is completely overwhelmed and needs a week off. I think he just needs to win a game or two,
Yeah, and he could use some blocking, and he could get rid of the ball quicker, and they could do a better job.
And a play caller.
Yeah, of calling plays for him, yeah. I mean, Mike, it's kind of fun because there's a lot of things that you had in place here, but the one thing, and we've talked about it, like the one thing you desperately need is a time machine to go back and have offensive linemen waiting for the kid. It's great to have all the receivers in the world. It's great to worry about the skill positions, but what helps a quarterback? How about protection?
I would love to know what is actually being thought by Ryan Poles in relation to the talent of the offensive line and the scheme and how it's all come together, because he was pretty high on that line coming into the year, and obviously they've had some injuries lately, but still it hasn't been close to what was anticipated. Was he just completely wrong, or can they do some things in the scheme to help it out? Is it going to get better? very fascinated to see how that plays out. Then they cut, you know, they cut Nate Davis yesterday. That's probably not a good sign.
If these continue to pile up, these examples of Ryan Poles being completely wrong, how will that affect his perception around the league and maybe his job status?
Anybody who doesn't win fast enough or doesn't have enough good players, you don't get to keep doing that for long term. I think as far as what people around the league think, I think there was a gap in their excitement for what they had and people on other teams, but that's normal. You know, people on the other teams look at someone who's kind of leaning into the idea publicly that we've got it figured out, which I think that was a little bit of a perception coming to this year, a lot of excitement, and say, well, we'll see. And so, of course, you're going to have people in the league saying, ah, told you so, but that's their own biases too, you know, a little bit as well. So we still got some time left in the season. We'll see if it looks better in the end. Wouldn't that be something if it, what if it, you know, perked up under Thomas Brown? Is that what you want?
Yeah, that's a great question. That is a great question. It's what they want this week. I'll tell you that. Great stuff, Mike. Really appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, thank you.
That is Mike Sando of The Athletic. Really interesting.
Yeah, interesting perspective outside of Chicago. A guy who covers the league, has been around a long time, and understands kind of how things work.
Yeah, good stuff. Really good stuff talking to people about what he's saying. All right, we'll be right back. I believe it's Dan and Marshall, I'm asking as I know.
I believe so,
head.
Okay. Yes.
We'll talk to them next. Mully and Haw on The Score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.